From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up on the eve of yet another hearing in Turkey, Republican Oklahoma Senator James Lankford has once again called for the release of unjustly jailed U.S. pastor Andrew Brunson, who has been held for Turkey just over 2 years. In just a moment, we'll talk with Senator Lankford. And later, Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy here at the Family Research Council, will be here with an update on some of the latest cases of religious persecution around the globe. And no administration in recent time has done more on behalf of religious freedom than the current one. That fact was driven home when the Secretary of State Mike Pompeo spoke at this year's Values Voter Summit just a few weeks ago. That and more on this edition of Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at TPerkins. And let me remind you to take the pledge, to pray, to vote, to stand. Pray for our nation, vote your biblical values, and stand for those transcendent truths upon which this nation is built. Go to PrayVoteStand.com and take the pledge along with thousands of others across the country. All right, the now high-profile case of Pastor Andrew Brunson, who was arrested and detained. He's been there for 2 years now. He has another hearing coming up on Friday of this week. He was charged by the Turkish government with being connected to the 2016 coup attempt, an accusation that U.S. officials say is completely bogus, as does Pastor Brunson. Joining me now is Senator James Lankford of Oklahoma, who has taken a particular interest in this case, along with other religious liberty cases. Senator Lankford, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Glad to be able to be with you again. Glad to be able to help bring up the profile of Dr. Brunson again.
Well, you released a statement over the weekend marking the second anniversary of his detainment. What's the latest on this case?
So as we're crossing to year number two, I wish we had a lot of progress on it. We have bits of progress, but we've had bits of progress in the past. So he has yet another hearing that's coming up, and that's actually this week. He's been moved, as many of your listeners will know, from being detained to house arrest. That's exceptionally helpful for him to be able to actually get to house arrest. But the administration has been negotiating not for house arrest, but to have him released entirely. Again, the charges that are set against him are pretty clearly charges that have been invented. And so while the Turks continue to say, we have this American pastor, we have leverage, we want to negotiate for some other kind of deal with the United States, we're trying to clearly articulate, you can't just scoop up an American pastor and to use him as a leverage or as a negotiating tool, like we're going to negotiate for a hostage. This is a NATO ally, and this is someone that we work closely with on the fight on terrorism for decades. For them now, suddenly for President Erdogan to decide he's going to scoop up an American and use him as a leveraging tool is completely inappropriate, and we're going to continue to be able to work to get him released.
Now, the attorneys for Brunson, for Pastor Brunson, filed an appeal to Turkey's highest court requesting that the pastor be released from house arrest. As you said, in July he was moved from the prison where he had been for about 18 months to house arrest, but still very limited on his mobility and his movement, and there's great concern over his security there. Any idea what this latest legal move might be about?
The legal move is trying to give the Turkish government an opportunity to be able to make a decision, and it's finding those inflection points. Now, the Turks are trying to save face in this to say, we can't just give in to your president's demands. We're trying to come back to them and say, we're not asking you to give in to our demands. We're giving you the opportunity to say you've gone through the whole process. Our encouragement to the Turkish government has been, if you want to be able to save face, convict him and then deport him. And to say, okay, we think he's guilty, get out of our country, is the easiest way for them to be able to save face. They did that actually with a group of Germans that they had captured and detained, convicted them, then deported them back to Germany. So we're asking them to be able to do the same thing, and we're giving them opportunities to be able to do it. Say, here's a legal ruling that you could rule on and to be able to move. Now, they have a judicial process, but they also have an executive process in Turkey where the executive branch, their Department of Justice, and their President Erdogan at any moment could also make a decision and to be able to send him home.
Yeah, their system a little bit different than ours, where the Erdogan has a lot of leverage over how the system works. But what's significant about this, Senator Lankford, and I know you have weighed in on this, even in the National Defense Authorization Act, limiting certain sales of military hardware to Turkey, because Turkey, as you said, is a NATO ally. But a NATO ally, this is the first time we've had this type of difficulty with an ally. In fact, the first time we've put sanctions on a NATO ally, and this administration has been very serious about pursuing Pastor Brunson's release.
They have been. They've been really, really good about this. President Trump has raised this with President Erdogan numerous times personally. Vice President Pence has been very engaged with his counterparts and with President Erdogan to be able to raise this personally. The Secretary of State, Pompeo, has raised this. Our Department of Justice has raised this. We've raised this at every area. And so the administration's really been very, very solid in trying to be able to negotiate his release. But to have a NATO ally that we have to press back on and say, we're going to put sanctions on individuals in your government and on your government for holding an American hostage is really an odd place for us to be as a NATO ally, and to have to make a decision on the F-35, our highest tech aircraft that we have. The Turkish government, as a NATO ally, was also going to get the F-35 and be a maintenance depot for the F-35 for all of NATO. I've now put legislation in place and to be able to put that in the NDAA to say we need to stop and we need to look at this before we transition our highest tech over to Turkey. We need to find out who Turkey is going to be. So it's an issue of not just Dr. Brunson, but of an ally that would act this way tells us Turkey is significantly changing. And I have said to quite a few people, I would not recommend any business in America opens or expands in Turkey right now, because I could not say with certainty that Turkey's not going to get upset with your business, scoop up with your employees, and hold them for years without charges. And that's not something you could ever explain to any of those family members. And there's no leverage to be able to get these individuals out. So if you're a business person thinking about expanding there, I would not expand to go into Turkey right now. That's not a wise business move to be able to expand in that area. And in the meantime, we're going to work to get Pastor Brunson out and try to figure out who Turkey is becoming.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you along today. The website, TonyPerkins.com. My guest, Oklahoma Senator James Lankford, talking about Turkey coming up tomorrow on Friday. The Turkish government will hold yet another hearing on Pastor Andrew Brunson, praying and hoping that he will be released. You mentioned the military hardware, but there was some other dynamics there in terms of who Turkey is becoming, because they've changed radically under Erdogan. Part of it is they're pursuing relationships with Russia, which could jeopardize, you know, the material that we sell them, especially the jet technology, if they're working with the very people that we are watching. So there's other dynamics here that suggest that Turkey could be going to the dark side.
Turkey has a significant outreach to the Russians. The Russians, no question, want to break apart NATO. That's one of the things that they want to do, is destabilize NATO, and they're trying to pick up any country to leave NATO. And so the Russians continue to be able to do misinformation and background reach out to the Turks to try to get them to peel away. The Russians are also trying to sell what's called the S-400 air defense system to the Turks. That S-400 is designed specifically to combat against the F-35. So it would be very odd for Turkey to both have the air defense system against the F-35 and to have the F-35 together. We think that's a very bad combination, and we should not do that. In addition to that, just not militarily and alliance-wise, Turkey's shifting pretty radically as well. If you go back 10 years ago, Turkey was very proud of being a very secular country, open to all faiths. Many people don't realize that Pastor Brunson has been in Turkey for 24 years. He served as a missionary. He's been very open in pastoring his church, Presbyterian Church, in Izmir in far western Turkey. His church has been open. Everybody's been well acknowledged, because Turkey for decades has been open to all faiths and of all people. And now in the past few years, there's a locking down on ministries and on people of faith and on disagreement that in Turkey, that is a pretty dramatic shift for people of faith to be able to see a country that was more open to religious diversity to now try to lock down on that. So we're actually seeing Turkey walk backwards from freedom.
Yeah, I think you go back to their constitution, which was adopted in 1982, I believe, very clearly articulating religious freedom, the ability to practice your faith, to change your faith, which is kind of the definition that we all work with. But in practice, that has that is not the case there in Turkey today. Senator Langford, I mean, clearly we would prefer to work with Turkey. We would prefer to have them remain an ally. They're strategically located. We've got a Air Force base there. It's a key place for us. What's it going to take to bring them back in the fold? And can that happen?
It absolutely can happen. In fact, in many of the meetings that I've had with Turkish leaders and with the Turkish ambassador, my conversation has been, I want our friend back. I don't know who you are anymore. We have not moved. Turkey has moved. And their actions on the ground, what they're doing, how they're closing down opportunities for freedom and for economic advancement, and certainly detaining someone and trying to use them as a leverage point in negotiations is certainly not rational for a friend. So my simple statement is, I want my friend back. And that cannot move forward until you release an American hostage. There are a lot of things that we can talk about in relationships. And our partnering together on the war against terrorism, obviously Turkey sits on the border with Syria. There are very serious issues with refugees and with national security when your border country is Syria and all that's going on there. We want to continue to be able to partner together with Turkey and to be able to work for a more stable region and towards economic advancement and a future cooperation in NATO. But none of that can happen until they release an American they have held hostage.
Senator, one final question for you before we run out of time. And I know you were in the House of Representatives. We've actually traveled to certain parts of the world. We went to Israel together. Religious freedom has been a key issue for you. Your background, Southern Baptist minister, ran the largest youth camp in the United States there in Oklahoma. This administration, they're committed to religious freedom, and this is refreshing. I think people need to realize that this is not normal, at least what we've seen in recent years, and it's refreshing to see the focus put back on this fundamental freedom, not just for Americans, but for all human beings.
It is. The basis of where our founding fathers came from on religious liberty is that your conscience, your personal belief in faith, it was a possession. And as they wanted to protect people's life, liberty, and property, or pursuit of happiness, depending on the document that you saw, but that was an often statement about protecting people's possessions from government going in and taking it, they considered the most precious possession that you owned to be your faith. So this has been a core a belief for Americans from the very beginning that government cannot step in and try to steal away someone's most precious possession, their faith, or to try to change it or replace it. We not only believe that as Americans, we as the government have believed that historically as a value that we can take worldwide, that countries are more stable, they're more free, they're more economically prosperous, where people of faith are recognized and allowed to be able to have faith, live their faith, or change their faith, and have the freedom to be able to do that. So that's important in our international policy. And that is somebody like Sam Brownback, who you've talked to many times, leading that from the State Department side. Mm-hmm. That's something that's very passionate to Mike Pompeo, our Secretary of State. That's something we pushed out there, but it's something that's also happening in domestic policy. Many people don't know.
Right.
This administration has put people in place in every single agency just to be able to watch out for the freedom of conscience and religious liberty issue. It's a very different focus. And they're not trying to add something. They're just trying to make sure that value is protected for every person, every policy.
Senator, got to leave it there. I want to thank you for joining us and for your leadership on this issue. Folks, don't go away. On the other side of the break, Travis Weber joins us with more examples of what's happening around the globe on this issue. Don't go away. We're back after this.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad you are with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Let me remind you to take the pledge. That's right, the pledge. To pray, to vote, to stand. Either go to TonyPerkins.com or go directly to PrayVoteStand.com. Take the pledge. Join with thousands of others who are committing to pray for our nation, to vote biblical values, and to stand for that transcendent truth upon which this nation was built. All right. We've been, we focus a lot on religious freedom, international religious freedom. And, one of the areas that, we were talking about Pastor Brunson and how this administration is bringing a new focus on that. In fact, we're going to hear from Secretary of State Mike Pompeo in a moment. But a Christian woman in Pakistan is facing the death penalty over a cup of water. Now, this is just one example of religious persecution that's happening around the world. And the parents of a Christian schoolgirl, Leah, are making a last-minute appeal to save their daughter from the execution at the hands of terrorists in Nigeria. With us now is Travis Weber, Vice President of Policy at the Family Research Council and the Director of our Center for Religious Liberty. Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, let's talk about the case out of Pakistan first. There was a hearing in this case, which has literally dragged on for 10 years.
Yeah, incredibly long time. The hearing on Monday before the Pakistan Supreme Court in the case, and the reports are coming out of this.
Now, this is Asisa Bibi.
Yeah, Miss Bibi is a Pakistan Christian who, if we go back to 10 years ago, we find that there was a disagreement between her, and an argument arose out of a conversation that she had with several Muslim women who were offended when she drank from the same cup of water that they did, which they thought made them unclean. This led to blasphemy accusations and charges being brought against her, which we've seen time and time again, these blasphemy laws being used to settle personal disputes. She was charged and convicted of blasphemy, and radical Muslims and imams in that country have whipped their followers up into a frenzy against her, to where it's not even really safe if she is released in Pakistan. She's been held in prison under a death sentence for all this time. Now it's up to the Pakistan Supreme Court as to whether they're going to uphold this conviction. Reports are they are set to reverse the conviction, but they're going to delay their ruling, no doubt in part because of the fervor around this case. Incredible story, and important for American Christians to understand as we face issues here, but we put them in context for those around the world and help us frame the issue and deal with standing up for our own beliefs here.
Right. There is a connection. Obviously, we're not at a point where we see this type of persecution where someone is jailed because they're accused of blasphemy. But to the degree that America focuses and makes a priority of religious freedom, it has implications worldwide.
It does. And it's important for Christians here to really understand the bigger picture on these issues, meaning understand what we mean by religious freedom, then understand how we need to protect it and how it's infringed here, and how it's being infringed around the world, and now we need to protect it worldwide. It's really important for us to think of this holistically as we deal with religious freedom.
Yeah, people want to talk about not having borders. I mean, religious freedom is one of those issues that should know no boundary, because it is a human right, not just an American right.
Yeah, it's something that Christians of all people understand we need to protect for everyone. We don't want anyone to be compelled.
Right.
And we don't want the government compelling us as a matter of conscience.
Either way. I mean, we are not for a state church. You can't. I mean, there's no way you can impose beliefs on people, but people should be free to choose. That's biblical. I mean, it goes back to the beginning of Scripture where God gave Adam a choice whether or not to obey him and serve him. And that's what we advocate for.
Exactly. And when we have this freedom, we need to use it and fill the public square with our positions, with our belief, and with our arguments.
So what is the United States in the case of Ms. Beebe? What's the United States doing there?
Well, we don't, no doubt there are things behind the scenes. We don't have any statements or any public pronunciations at this point. The Pakistan government knows that there's incredible public pressure internationally about this. And they're aware of that. It's important that they're aware of that.
Right.
And we'll see what the court does.
And in contrast to what we were talking about earlier about Pastor Brunson, these are not American citizens. It's obviously a completely different category when Americans are being held. But we still speak out for the general principle of religious freedom for everyone. Now, we talked about, I mentioned Leah, the Nigerian girl who was kidnapped by Boko Haram. What's the situation there?
Yeah, so October is the deadline that Boko Haram has set for her execution if their demands are not met. They executed another girl last month and in threatening to execute Leah.
Now, she was in a group of Nigerian girls that was kidnapped. The others, most of the others, she refused to convert to Islam.
Yeah, she's refused to renounce her faith, which if she did, they've promised to release her. So she's standing strong, and it's important for her to know that others are standing with her.
And I want to encourage folks, and in fact, this is a case that we're going to really focus upon with Leah, and I would encourage you to take her and pray for her. Pray for that situation, because there is a deadline. The clock is ticking. Leah Sharibu, her last name is spelled Sharibu, a young girl. She's 15?
She's 15.
And she's refusing to renounce her faith. This is so much like the Maryam Ibrahim, but so much younger, about half Maryam's age. A young girl, teenage girl, refusing to walk through the door of freedom, which the price for her is simply to renounce her faith in Jesus Christ. She's refusing to do that. I mean, what courage.
Yeah, incredible courage. And, many are focused on this. People are raising the issue publicly. Prime Minister Buhari of Nigeria has interacted and involved in the case. We need to bring pressure on him from the U.S., like President Trump did earlier this year, and continue to press this issue worldwide.
All right, Travis Weber, thanks so much for joining us. Folks, pray for Leah. Leah Sharibu, Sharibu. Pray for her and her family, a 15-year-old Nigerian girl refusing to renounce her faith in Jesus Christ, even though freedom would await her. All right, folks, when we come back, this issue is a priority for the United States. We hear from the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. That's next here on this edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Well, this is it's a distinct privilege and honor for me to introduce our next guest. You know, while religious freedom is a hallmark of our constitutional republic, religious freedom is not just an American right. It is a universal human right. And, you know, this understanding is why religious freedom has historically been a key component of America's foreign policy. In fact, tomorrow night we will honor retired Congressman Frank Wolf for his long-time advocacy, is really his lifelong advocacy for religious persecution around the globe, for those that are being persecuted simply because of their faith. In fact, 20 years ago, he authored the International Religious Freedom Act, which made clear that religious freedom was to be a top priority in America's foreign policy. And while that has not always been the case, today there is no question that religious freedom is a priority in America's foreign policy. In April of this year, President Donald Trump nominated Mike Pompeo to serve as his Secretary of State. 3 months later, the State Department, at the direction of Secretary Pompeo, summoned world leaders to Washington, D.C. for the first ever ministerial to advance religious freedom. Along with the President and the Vice President, Secretary Pompeo has made clear to world leaders that America stands for religious freedom, that we will stand with the persecuted. No matter what their faith, we believe they have a right to live that faith, to change that faith, to be who God has called them to be. I have the privilege of serving on the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, a 9-member commission. I was appointed by Mitch McConnell. It's a bipartisan commission that is focused on this issue. Never before have we seen an administration, a president, a State Department, a Congress that is focused on this issue. We now have a Secretary of State who is leading the charge around the globe.
He previously served as director of the CIA from January of 2017 to April of 2018. Prior to joining the Trump administration, Mr. Pompeo served his state of Kansas in Congress as a four-term member of Congress, and I might add that he was a consistent, steady vote for the values that you and I care about. He is also a veteran of the United States Army. I mean, that's okay. I mean, not everybody can be a Marine. Okay, guys, settle down, all right? He is a graduate of West Point, and after leaving active duty and honorably serving our country, he graduated from Harvard Law School. He is married to Susan Pompeo, and they have one son, Nick. And not only am I thrilled to be able to call him Secretary Pompeo, I'm also thrilled and honored to call him my friend. Please welcome Secretary of State Mike Pompeo.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. That is an unbelievably warm welcome. It is wonderful to see so many patriots here who carry the torch of freedom forward. Thank you all for being here. It was great. I heard Tony say, too, I was glad. It sounded like there were a few more Marines than Army guys here. I am so privileged to have the opportunity to be here. There were some folks who didn't want me to come here today. I don't know if any of you read about that. But it seems to me only natural that an American Secretary of State would come to talk to you about America's values and interests. And I know that religious freedom is important to each of you, and it's important for me to be here today to talk to you. Thanks, Tony, for your kind introduction and for the opportunity to speak here today. I've known Tony as a fierce, courageous defender of America's essential freedoms, the thing that I do now, each and every day, as a Secretary of State. And I didn't know that Tony had a connection to the State Department until I was preparing for this. A few years ago, he was part of our anti-terrorism assistance program. And someone said that the dark was scared of him. I hope the terrorists were scared of him, too. Thank you, Tony, for your important work. This State Department, under President Trump, is fighting to make sure that American citizens and American interests come first in our foreign policy. At the very heart of our mission is the preservation of human dignity. And this administration understands an eternal truth that each person has an essential worth simply because he or she is human and having been created by God. And our Declaration of Independence enshrines that self-evident truth. We all know this, that each of us is endowed by our Creator with inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
You're listening to Secretary of State Mike Pompeo's recent address at the Values Voter Summit. When we come back, you'll hear the conclusion of that and my final thoughts here on this edition of Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back right after this.
Out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. So glad to have you along. We've on this topic of religious freedom, I wanted to drive home the point of where this administration stands. It's critical to understand that we've never had an administration like this. And so at our recent Values Voter Summit here in Washington, D.C., the Secretary of State, first time ever, came and spoke to the 2,000-plus folks that were there. And it was a message focused on religious freedom and how this administration is championing this issue, among others, but it's a priority in our foreign policy. This is quite significant. And so I wanted you to hear directly, as you do for so many of our guests, the Secretary of State's been on the program before, but I want you to hear this and I want you to share it with your friends. The fact that we have an administration that cares about this fundamental first freedom for all people, everywhere. Listen to the conclusion of Secretary Mike Pompeo just a couple of weeks ago here at the Values Voter Summit.
Those of us who are believers don't see that in so many places in the world, that simple thing, that belief that we have, is challenged. And I urge each of you never to hide it under a bushel. To understand how important it is that we speak about this. We speak about faith and freedom in a way that is candid and clear and the best of what America has to offer. You know, I came to the State Department, I talked about swagger and the State Department getting its swagger back. It's been mocked a little bit, indeed, by Kanye West. He had a song or something. I'm pretty unfamiliar with that terrain. But what I meant by that was what I just said. We have this incredible privilege to be citizens of the United States of America, to have the religious freedom. and to build relationships around the world. It allows us to protect human dignity of our own people and advance it where that freedom is under assault. I want our diplomats, those diplomats who are tasked representing you all around the world, I want them to comfortably, unapologetically, and respectfully advance American ideals and interests in every corner of the world. And you should know that because we believe these principles are worth living by, we proudly raise our banner of self-government, freedom, and human dignity all across the world. We'll never accept a diminished role for America on the global stage. We're going to lead from the front. Now, it's a little different from when I was a soldier. I'm now a diplomat. I think you can see the change already. Yes, you laughed just exactly right there. My diplomatic team has responsibility on a couple of fronts. I want to talk to you about them. First is we need to make sure that America prospers here at home. So the work that we do abroad should be designed to support President Trump's efforts to make sure that America's economy is strong. We all know that human dignity depends on work, and the opportunity to work is something that the State Department has a role in, to bring people to America, to invest, to help create and grow this remarkable economy that is ours here in the United States. The Trump administration fights for jobs at home because we know that the ability of every man and woman to put their hand to labor is not just a matter for their pocketbooks. It's about human dignity and pride. We also know, and this is what I want to focus on today, that we are ensuring human dignity by advancing one of our most cherished and indispensable liberties. It's enshrined in the First Amendment. It is our religious freedom. Since the earliest days of his presidency, President Trump has directed all of us in his administration to advance and defend religious freedom at home and abroad, because religious freedom is a universal, a God-given right to which all people are entitled. It is, religious freedom is also an essential building block for all free societies, and our founders knew this. It's a freedom that I care personally about, and I know you do as well. It's the one that drew me to serve my country in the United States Armed Forces. But sadly, today, more than 80% of the global population lives in countries that place significant limitations on religious freedom. And I know it brings many of us heavy hearts to watch the ongoing persecution of Christians and other minorities in countries like the Islamic Republic of Iran. We are fighting for human dignity of the Iranian people by speaking the truth about the oppressive and corrupt regime that controls those people. Religious minorities in Iran are routinely imprisoned, stripped of their rights, kicked out of their jobs, and subject to many other abuses. Earlier this year, I'm sure some of you saw this, there was a moving news segment on 20 Iranian Christians who made a dangerous journey outside of Iran to an undisclosed location. After years of gathering in secret, all they wanted was to spend a few days in a place where they could conduct a baptism ceremony without fear of reprisal. And so 20 of them secretly flew to a foreign country and rented a hotel swimming pool for some baptisms. One man said he had waited 10 years since his conversion for this very moment. This is the level of secrecy needed to be a Christian inside of Iran. I could give you many more examples of how Iranian people have been mistreated by a repressive, corrupt, and hypocritical regime for 40 years. As part of a larger persecution of the Sunni minority, last year, one court sentenced 4 Sunnis to 5 years in prison for the crime of jogging. Of all things, a Sufi Muslim man was hanged in June after a sham judicial process. After President Trump withdrew from the flawed deal, he implemented a new strategy to force a change in the Iranian regime's behavior. And part of this strategy is to make sure that the voices inside Iran crying out for accountability, justice, and religious freedom know that the United States stands with them. We stand with the Christians, the Jews, the Sufis, the Muslims, the Zoroastrians, the Baha'i, and all other faith groups in Iran who have had their human dignity violated by this regime. We know the importance of God-given right of all people to worship according to their conscience. You know, another example is in China. Hundreds of thousands and possibly millions of Uyghurs are held against their will in so-called re-education camps, where they're forced to endure severe political indoctrination and other awful abuses. Their religious beliefs are decimated. And we're concerned, too, about the intense new government crackdown on Christians in China, which includes heinous actions like closing churches, burning Bibles, and ordering followers to sign papers renouncing their faith. You know, one of the most important things I think I can do in my role as Secretary of State is to speak to these issues. Tony referred to the first ever religious freedom ministerial that we held at the State Department. Now, if you're like me, you don't know what a ministerial is. 2 years ago, I probably could not have told you. Let me try it this way. When I was a deacon at my church back home, if we were trying to confront a problem, we held a meeting. That's what, it's just a meeting. But it was an important meeting. It was a meeting where representatives from over 80 countries attended a unique event to stand with the United States in our cause of defending the rights of all individuals to worship how they choose and to believe what and how they want. We let the world know that religious freedom mattered and that it is a fundamental human right, and the United States would expect them to honor that. I must say, when the meeting kicked off, I didn't know exactly what to expect, but the response, the pent-up demand for this opportunity was so overwhelming that we're going to do it again next year. I hope it'll become a tradition that is honored by decades of happening, and I hope to attend the 30th, 40th, and 50th ministerial. We truly do. We envision this becoming a landmark gathering for the world. We didn't just talk. We came up with plans. We helped countries that were challenged to set up institutions where religious freedom would be talked about and discussed, and if they were a little further along, to help them continue to develop that inside their own country. And most of all, we wanted to do this to set an example. It's what the State Department can do best in representing each of you all around the world, making this nation the continued beacon, the beacon that says one's right to worship their God is a fundamental freedom that every human being has, and that America values this and will demand it. We're confident that our progress will continue because the State Department has been a lifelong champion for religious liberty. We're blessed now to be quarterbacked by a good friend of mine, two Kansans now, Senator Sam Brownback, leading our religious freedom efforts. As I close today, a couple thoughts. I want to tell you a final quick story about how we're ensuring human dignity by working to bring home Americans that have been unjustly held captive by other nations. Far and away, the greatest highlight to date of my job as Secretary of State was bringing home three Americans from captivity in North Korea. It's emotional still to speak about it. When Kim Dong-chol, Kim Hak-song, and Tony Kim got off our plane, at about 2:30 a.m. at Andrews Air Force Base, their faces were bursting with tears of joy. They hugged and they wept with their families. And President Trump was on the tarmac to meet them. I remember the trip well. I remember my hope and my prayers that we would be able to deliver these people home. And when they arrived at the airport, I was already aboard the plane. and I saw them get out of the vehicle, and they could walk, and they appeared to be in reasonably good health, I wasn't emotionally prepared for the moment. And even now, as I speak about it, it reminds me of the greatness of our nation. On that flight, they scribbled out a note, and you can see it if you go back and look at the video. One of the men handed me a little note card, and I put it in my vest pocket as they were climbing down the stairway. As I got home that night with Susan, I pulled it out, and on that index card was Psalm 126. And it read as follows: "When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy.'" Even as we sit here today in this beautiful hall, there are thousands of Christians and people of other faiths in North Korea and around the world, like Kim Dong-chol, who are praying for deliverance from captivity and from fear of persecution. His deliverance gives us hope and energizes our prayers that all those mistreated for their faith around the world will endure and one day be free. His story fuels the Trump administration's commitment to protect human dignity by ensuring that all those with the fire faith in their hearts to be able to exercise their God-given rights. There's another man you've likely heard of, Pastor Brunson. Let me say right now here, we are sparing no effort to return Pastor Brunson home to the United States. The work is important. The work is important. He has been wrongly held, and his proper place is to be able to return here to once again practice his faith in our great nation. Know this. President Trump will never forget about our own, and that is one of the greatest American values of all. On the day Pastor Brunson returns, just like the men I spoke of a bit ago, they also will be able to say that the Lord has done great things for us, and again, our hearts will be filled with joy. Thank you. May God bless you all.
You've been listening to the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, who spoke recently at the Values Voter Summit about the priority of religious freedom in this administration. He touched on Pastor Brunson as well, as did Senator Lankford. He's been held for 2 years. This administration, and I in fact talked to the president the other night at the White House, and he said, "We're working on it every day." It's amazing. This administration cares. They really do. Elections have consequences. Either you focus on these fundamental freedoms or you're hostile to it. What we saw in the last 8 years. Anyway, you heard it from the Secretary of State. You've heard it from the Vice President. You've heard it from the President. You've heard it from the Ambassador at Large, Religious Freedom. We've got an administration that cares about these issues. All right, almost out of time here. I want to encourage you to take the pledge to pray, to vote, to stand. Pray, vote, stand. Go to PrayVoteStand.com. Pray for our nation. Vote your biblical values. And stand for the transcendent truths upon which this nation was built. PrayVoteStand.com. Share that with your friends, your family. Encourage others, thousands, to take this pledge. In fact, I'm gonna when we get that all done, I'm gonna share it with the president. How many people have taken that pledge? I know they'll be encouraged to know that people are praying for our leaders and for this government, pledging to vote for biblical values and to stand for these transcendent truths. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, "When you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing."
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.